These last two songs that we sang were both written by Catherine Hanke. And they're actually the only two songs that she wrote. She didn't write any songs until she was old and on her deathbed. She was bedridden for about a month, I believe, before she passed away. And in that time, she actually only wrote one poem. And a really long poem. And these are two excerpts from that poem to make these two songs. I've been wanting to, or I should say I've thought about preaching the gospel here, but I've always for some reason felt funny preaching the very basic things of the Bible to people who know them so well, and especially presenting it in a way as if you hadn't heard them. But I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And on that note, that's what I plan to do this morning. We live in America. What's been known as a Christian country. Everybody knows the story of Jesus. We all heard that Jesus was born of a virgin, laid in a manger, grew up and he lived a perfect life doing good for people, and then he died for me. Aw, so sweet. But let me just for a minute take you and help you to see what this really means. Have you ever heard of a judge pronouncing somebody guilty? Imagine a judge in a courtroom saying, condemned, life imprisonment, then turning around 5 minutes later and saying, change your mind, let him go free. No, this isn't reality. God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And he says, there is none righteous. No, not one. We put these things together. If this was the only thing the Bible told us, we would be awfully hopeless. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here the whole human race stands condemned. But back into the courtroom, imagine somebody standing up and saying, let me die instead. This is what the Bible means when it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We look at this if somebody was going to commit suicide and left a suicide note that said, Ezra, I died for you, I'd go, wait a minute, this is absolutely ridiculous. I would have rather you'd lived. But imagine the story differently. Imagine I was dying. Imagine you were dying. And somebody slipped in, saved your life, and in the process died themselves. All of a sudden, that puts a whole new idea on the verse. While we were yet without strength, in due time. I believe it says Christ died for the ungodly, unless I'm mixing up a couple verses, but the Bible certainly says that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who did Christ die for? We stop and we look at this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. we might be unable to understand if your best friend, you may be able to put yourself in a place and realize that you may give your life for your very, very best friend. Not our Lord Jesus Christ. For the enemies. For the people that shake their fists and say God does not exist. Or that shake their fists at God and say, God did this to me, God did that to me. These are the people that Jesus died for. Once again, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you can say, "Ah, I'm not that bad. I've been a good person. I've lived a decent life. A good person." God tells us, and the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Here we have the basic description of what sin is. Going your own way. You can say, "I'm not wicked, I'm not an evil person, I'm not horrible, I'm not bad." Have you done your own thing? Ever? Whether it was sinful or not. Have you done your own thing rather than God's thing? That's the foundational idea of what sin is. Going your own way. And then God says, there is none righteous. No, not one. God has pronounced us sinners. And if any man say he hath not sinned, he makes God a liar. We're told in another place. God says you are a sinner. If you say you're not, you just said that God lied. Adding to your sin. But still, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. In this country, most of us have heard most of these things, at least little bits here and there. And we claim to be Christians. We were born into a Christian family and raised in a Christian church. We've gone to church all our lives. I'm a Christian. But the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. A man once came to Jesus and said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You must be born again." Born again? How can a man be born when he is old? We're told that that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. We're all born with physical bodies. We're born flesh and blood. And we're born sinners. There must come a time when God does a miracle inside of us and we are born again. And when we are born again, all things become new. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I challenge every professing Christian. The Bible says, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith. We tend to take for granted that we're a believer Because we've never really thought about it. We just assumed we were. I've been to church all my life. I've done this and I prayed a little prayer when I was young. Sure, of course I'm a Christian. Have you ever examined yourself to see if you are a Christian? Have you ever taken things down to the very bottom and asked every question you could ask? Opened up every door of your heart and fully examined everything and been able to conclude at the end that yes, I am a Christian? Or is there places you avoid because you're afraid what might be there? You're afraid you might find out that you're not a Christian. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Dig down deep. And answer every question. What makes you a Christian? What makes Christianity the real religion? I can come to you and I can explain to you what life is. And I can say that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. The next person who comes from a different religious background is going to give you a different answer to life. Who's right? Why is Christianity the real religion? You know, it's not even fair to compare Christianity to other religions. Because Christianity is so absolutely different. It is foundationally different. On every matter, on every foundational point. Religion is man's attempt to get to know God. Every religion you find admits that there is a space between us and God. We read in Genesis about Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God at the cool of the night. Why doesn't this happen anymore? Every human being feels this. Every human being. And that is what every religion is trying to answer. Why this separation between me and God? You have some people that crawl their hands and knees on pilgrimages for miles, getting to a city to try to find God. We had people sleeping on beds of nails throughout the Dark Ages, whipping themselves, trying to find God. Why this space between me and God, trying to do anything to get to know God? Christianity is the only religion that explains to us how God bridged that gap. Every other religion is trying to get you to do the right things to bridge that gap. There is no comparison between Christianity and every other religion. When you come to the point you realize you can't, Christianity is the only hope. Christianity is the only rational hope of man because it is the only religion where God bridged the gap between you and Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what that means. There is no other hope. Christianity is the only rational hope of man. There's rich people, there's poor people, there's happy people and there's sad people. There's short people and there's tall people, there's every kind of people you want. There's people. There's some things that equalize us all. One thing that we realize we're all equal. We all just live a few short years and die. What's the purpose to life? Why are we here? In America, we're told Get a good education so you can get a good job, so you can make lots of money, so you can retire early and you live a good life. Why was Jesus born? Because God cannot die. He had to become a man so he could die. That's why he was born. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus took on human flesh for one purpose, that he could die in your place and mine. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we go back to all these people who are professing to be Christians. James tells us, how does he say it? Slips my mind. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Can faith save him? You know, I've asked a lot of people to imagine yourself standing at the gate of heaven and knocking. And a guard comes. You say, "Let me in. Show me a pass." What can you show as a pass into heaven? When you stand at that gate, what are you going to show as a pass? Some people say, "Oh, my clean hands." Your clean hands? Where did you get those? I want some too. You didn't get them by being human. You didn't get them by being good. I hope my hands are clean. But if so, it's only because they've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I, as a human being, am a filthy sinner. I'm not going to show my clean hands. That ain't going to help me. Some people say, "Oh, my soul." Your soul, that's who you are. And if that's filthy, you're still going to need some past, something else. Your good life. The Bible tells us that all of your righteousnesses are as filthy rags before a holy God. To put this into plain English, he says, you can do the best you can, and it's still a dirty wash rag. We're hopeless. There's only one thing you can show when you stand at the gate of heaven and ask for acceptance. And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and your faith in it. We're saved by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But yet James says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? And I've used this illustration here before, but let me do it again. I stand here today, a whole man. If I were to tell you that when I was walking to church this morning, I was hit by a logging truck barreling down the road at 70 miles an hour. But it was just a fun experience. Gave me a good feeling all over. Jesus said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let the worlds be," and the worlds were. Stars exist, and they did. And And you're going to say you met face to face with this creator of the universe as a sinful, defiled human being and he didn't change you? You claim to be a Christian and you're still living in sin? No, not so. You claim to be born again and you didn't change? Not so. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. Here God tells us exactly what He's going to do when you meet face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know by experience what would happen when you met face to face with a logging truck. And some of us can tell you by experience what will happen to you when you meet face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new and all things are of God. That's what will happen to you when you meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Are you willing to dig down to the very depths of every corner of everything you are and answer the question in this respect? A man may say, "Thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show you my faith by my works." By faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is how we are saved. Well, I don't have notes and my mind's going blank, so I guess I'll have to be done.